This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
As we were interceding this morning, God asked me that now you turn two to each other and you pray and you come and stand in agreement that God will really come and open up your hearts this morning to receive this message, to go out with this message, to live it, to expect greater levels of intimacy with Him that you haven't experienced before. Okay, will you just like for a minute turn to each other and just pray this and stand in agreement? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So the message that I want to bring this morning is actually, what is the meaning of reverent fear and worship of the Lord? And it's something that God actually placed on my heart a couple of months ago. And I think that it's something that's lacking in the Western church. I'm not generalizing, but there is definitely a lack of that awe and that fear and true worship of God, where people are just making a habit of going to church or not even doing that exercise anymore. If we look at some of the large churches and their worship bands, and if you look at that, it's actually becoming an entertainment show where it's not really Holy Spirit driven. It's all about their own images and so forth. I've listened to a teaching once of John Bevere, and as we were driving this morning, Moldy also mentioned it, and they asked me if I remembered, and I said yes. As I was preparing this sermon, God reminded me of this. He was on a crusade. John Bevere, you all know John Bevere. He was on a crusade in South America where he had to go and minister to quite a large church. And as the people were worshiping, you know, he just noticed that some of the people were like hands in their pockets and moving around and chatting, not really focusing on what they're there for to do. And he just experienced that there was no presence of the Holy Spirit. It was dead. And he asked God, before he had to go and speak onto the stage, he asked God, you know, what's wrong here? And God said to him, there's no respect. There's no awe. So he went onto the stage and he challenged the people. And he said, being South American people, they all knew their soccer star Pele. And he challenged them and said, what would you guys do if Pele walked onto this stage now? Wouldn't you like be wow and up there and concentrating, focusing on this guy? If he spoke, being silent and listen to what he'd say, would it say? And they all said yes. And he said, but why don't you do it for God? Isn't God greater than anything else? So this message this morning is not about condemnation. The Word of God says that the reverent fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So I just pray for wisdom this morning to come and settle in our hearts. And that after this morning, we will live this. It will be in our thoughts. It will be in our actions. It will be in what we say and how we communicate with others. That we will carry this out. And then we're going to experience that greater intimacy with God. Because He's a faithful God. Okay, so that's what I said this morning when I gave the offering message. There's truly a lot of scriptures that I want to go through. And to start off this message, I just want to show you, and this is not even a complete list, but I just want to show you how many scriptures there are in the Bible on reverent fear and awe that we have to stand, our attitude that we have to stand before God with, honoring Him. Okay, so I'm just going to read through this. Bear with me. Don't fall asleep. I'll start with 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things He has done for you. Joshua 24:14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. Jeremiah 32:40. I will make an everlasting covenant with them that they will not turn away from them to do them good, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts. God, may you do this morning for us. Chronicles 16:25. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. Psalm 33:8-9. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. Pardon. He commanded, and it stood fast. Jeremiah 5:4. Do you not fear me, declares the Lord? Do you not tremble in my presence? For I have placed the sand as a boundary for the sea, an eternal decree, so it cannot cross over it. Though the waves toss, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot cross over it. Jeremiah 10:7. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is your due. Malachi 5:2. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. Isaiah 59:19. So they will fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. Isaiah 29:20. Okay, thanks. Isaiah 29:23. But when He sees His children, the work of my hands in His midst, they will sanctify my name. Indeed, they will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. Revelation 15:4. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Psalm 5:7. But as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter your house at your holy temple. I will bow in reverence for you. Luke 5:26. They were all struck with astonishment and began glorifying God, and they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen remarkable things today. Amos 3:8. A lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? Revelation 14:7. And He said with a loud voice, fear God and give Him glory, because the hour of His judgment has come. Worship Him who made the heaven and the earth and sea and springs of waters. Psalm 2:11. Worship the Lord with reverence and enjoys with trembling. Psalm 128:1. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. Acts 9:31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and the going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It continued to increase. Proverbs 16:6. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. 1 Samuel 12:14. If you fear the Lord and serve Him and listen to His voice and not rebel against the command of the Lord, then both you and also the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God. Just to stand still on that scripture, when I was preparing, I just felt that this is a scripture for South Africa. We need to come to God with that reverent fear and awe and then it will be well again with this country. And then lastly, Luke 12 verse 5, but I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who after he is killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. So we is there somebody that hasn't got a general idea about this? I don't think so, because this is very clear and this is not even comprehensive. There's many more of these kind of scriptures that guide us with how we need to look at God and hold him in awe and with a deep, deep respect. As it goes, mostly with people attending the church, speaking to the people in the church, but actually it's the people outside of the church that needs to hear the message. But that doesn't absolve us from the responsibility as we pray to go out and to go and live this message and be a living testimony to God and to go and act and start making a difference in your workplace, wherever you move. Speak about the respect of God. When somebody blasphemies, help that person. Not condemn, but it's our duty to cry out from the rooftops about God. That's also a command of Jesus. We cannot keep silent. So, what does it mean to have the reverent fear and the worship of God? It means to have reverence for God and not think of God as an afterthought. We have been created to worship God. That is the purpose of our creation. God is not a McDonald's drive-through where we can, when we're hungry, order a burger. He is not a quick fix solution. He is the Most High. He is the Creator. Awesome in power. So with this principle of being made to worship God and that we need to worship Him with reverence, that deep respect, we need to come before Him. And as it says in 1 Peter 5 verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. So one of those things is humbleness. God hates pride. One of the key scriptures, which is also on the list that I've gone through, is that Hebrews 12, verse 28 to 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. So, as I was preparing this, I was actually, you know, quite sorry that I'm not a Greek student, because I think a lot of meaning perhaps has gone lost in translation from Greek. But yeah, that reverence and awe means, reverence literally means with downcast eyes and humility. And the awe means with caution and holy fear. I don't think that we even can sometimes comprehend how powerful God is. But let us rather prepare and try to find out now and not be surprised on that day when Jesus comes. And then we're going to experience something that we haven't been prepared for. So, it's no accident that the longest book in the Bible, Psalms, is all about is all about praise and worship. It's a great teaching for us. If we get tongue-tied in prayer before God, go read Psalms. Go read it to God and say, listen, God, I'm reading this because I'm tongue-tied. But this is what I want to say. This is the glory that I want to give you. And then if we move to the last book in the Galatians, it says there that the saints and the angels fell on their faces, glorifying God. That's where we need to be. Flat before God. That is respect. That is awe. Heidi Baker, who knows Heidi Baker? She had the saying, or she still has the saying, lower and slower. On your face with God, not caring about time, but just spending time with Him, quality time. So we must bring God our endearment with more intensity, with more meaning, and more power. That is the reverence and awe that God seeks as we come into His holiness. I've read Psalm 2 verse 11. I'll just go through it again. It says, worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. So what is worship? Worship is our spirit, our inner being, coming to praise God, give Him all the glory. And how we do that? We do it through our attitudes. We do it through our actions. We do it through our words. And it's based on the truth of who God is and His word. It's our inner being. Worship is not only music. It's not only music. It's loving God. It's honoring Him. It's knowing who He is and recognizing and acknowledging Him. It's adoring Him. It's obeying Him. It's proclaiming Him as a way of life, not a once-off, not a McDonald's drive-thru. It's a way of life. First Corinthians 10:31 says so clearly to us, whatever you eat or whatever you drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Cannot be clearer than that. So this is, as I was preparing, this is what God says, that people are coming to church today, and I'm not criticizing anybody, I'm not condemning anybody, I'm not judging anybody, but people coming to church for sacrificial or artificial reasons. They come to see some friends. They come maybe to feed a spirit of legalism that is rife in church. To fulfill an obligation, or maybe they're hoping, you know, it's going bad with my business, it's going bad with my finances, so maybe going to church today is going to help that one-stop shop, you know. Maybe that's going to help me today. maybe I'm going to say a quick prayer and somebody can lay hands on me, and after that, you know, I'm going to be massively blessed. But there's only one acceptable reason for coming to church, and that is to worship God. That is to praise His name from the bottom of your heart. So the quality of our worship stands in direct proportion to our concept of God. If our God is a God whom we praise and worship on a Sunday, but Monday we're walking the ways of the world, then that's the level of our praise and worship. But if God is that God in our place, the first, the only, then that's our level of our worship. We will have that fear of Him. We'll have that respect of Him. David was a great, to me, David is a great example of truly worshiping God, fearing God. He did nothing without seeking God first. I think of Ziklag. Shall I pursue? Will I conquer? Will I overtake? So if we worship and we don't recognize God's greatness, His awesome power, His grace, His holiness, His glory, then we're just going through the motions. It's got no purpose for your life. Just going through motions. It's legalism. So Derek was speaking to me just before the service, and he mentioned somebody that, you know, complained about church taking too long. So is how do we worship today? Do we watch our watch and say after an hour we start moving around in our seats? Why do we sing so many songs? Please let it end. I want to go home. There's a lamb roast in the oven. I want to go and eat. I'm hungry. Do you know Ravi Zacharias? Oh, he's quite a clever guy. He said that when God bores you, even heaven hasn't got an alternative for you. But God isn't boring. People may find Him boring because they're not truly in His presence. They're not understanding who God is. That's the lack of wisdom, the lack of knowledge. For the lack of knowledge, my people perish. So what does the fear mean? What does the reverent fear mean? It doesn't mean that we have to be afraid of God, but rather that we stand in awe of His greatness and His holiness. He's the Creator. He can just, you know, like in Romans chapter 1, it says that even if you hadn't met Jesus yet, everybody has got some knowledge that there's a God. If you look at nature, I mean, there's no Big Bang, nothing like that. God is just awesome. He's just great. And that is the fear that we must have. That He's got the universe like a grain of sand in His hand. How big is that? So 1 John 4 verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. So That fear is not being afraid of God. Reverent fear is not being afraid of God, because here 1 John, it says that. It's love. So godly fear is not the fear that we have of a tyrant or a dictator or a boss that you know is going to scream at you. It's not that kind of fear. It's absolute reverence for God, the Almighty God, the Creator. The fear of God is to love God. The fear of God is to love God. Say it. The fear of God is to love God. And why do I say that? Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Does it ring a bell? A loud one. And then Proverbs 8 verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you fear me, you will hate evil. To fear God is to love God. So that fear, if we come into understanding what that fear is about, that brings us into the place where we understand who God is, where we can come with worship Him in truth and spirit, where we recognize His awesome and His holiness and our unworthiness, where we come to realize His grace and what it meant for us and still means for us today as Christians. That fear will cause us, if we understand it and we live it, it will cause us to grow away from doubts and distractions and grow into His embrace. Intimacy with God on the next level. If we understand how deep God's love is for us, He gave His only Son on the cross, His grace, His favor for us. He says how much He loves us so many times in the Word. Then we don't have to be burdened by fear of condemnation. This is a good fear to have. We don't have to be scared of God. We can be scared of His wrath, yes. Because I think that is something to behold that we do not want to be part of. But we don't have to be scared of God. He's a Father. And He's a better Father than any of us would ever be. He says so in His Word. Amen. The fear of God will infuse us with love. Again, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if we keep that commandments, we will have that fear, and if we've had that fear, we will have love. We will have compassion. Something that the world truly needs. So that fear will help us to embrace and understand and make God the Lord of our lives. When we say we recognize Jesus Christ, it's not only recognizing Him as our Savior, we must also recognize him as our Lord. That means following him on a daily basis, obedient on a daily basis. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13 says, and this Solomon has really contemplated his life, thought about his life, you know, all that he had and what he did wrong, where he made mistakes. So in Ecclesiastes, he says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the duty of mankind. Fear God and keep his commandments. Let us not take this lightly, Lord. Fear also, that fear also means we need to understand God is God. Jesus says he's our friend, but we must know the boundaries. God is God. He's not a convenient pal. He's God. So what happens if we do not fear God? I mean, that's total disrespect. And Proverbs describes it as foolishness. So that's obviously just the opposite of having wisdom. To fear God is the beginning of wisdom. To not fear God is foolishness. And I've mentioned Romans. And in chapter 1, where God says, where sinners are given over to their sin and they will self-destruct. We see it in the world today. It is truth. People who renounces God are on a road of self-destruction. They're given over to the consequences of their own sins. Then this message, this word of God, this reverent fear and worship of God, we cannot sit in this. It is something that requires input from us in our own lives and going out and living it, proclaiming it to your children, to your friends, as a couple, to each other, and just pray that the Holy Spirit will just bring new measures of this fear and actually just show us more and more how awesome our God is. Prophetically, this will change your lives. There is no doubt this will change your lives. So, in conclusion, worship is not the focus of Christian life. The focus is being obedient to God. But worship helps us to get there. Worship is a tool. We were made to worship God. And it makes that daily, day-to-day obedience in life, even in the most difficult trials and tribulations, that's what makes it possible for us. I've seen where we've tried to do deliverance and, you know, that you're just like hitting a wall the whole time, and those demons were making a mockery of things. Pardon. But the moment we went into praise and worship and just glorifying God, they cracked, because they're nothing. God's power is too awesome for them, and they know it. The Bible says they shudder before God. So if they shudder, who are we not to? we must understand who God is. And when we worship and praise and have that fear of God, it's not for His benefit. It's for our benefit. God, it may sound harsh, God doesn't need us. He made us to worship Him, and that is for us to get a deeper intimacy with Him, to come and get that knowledge of a Father's heart, to understand who He is. And then, as we move into that greater levels of intimacy, that greater levels of walking with God, then we also start making a difference in the world, because we're not powerless. The Holy Spirit, the more we get intimate with God, the greater the measure of the Holy Spirit. He's already in us completely, but we're quenching Him. If we're not respecting God, we're quenching the Holy Spirit. Then lastly, I've said it so many times, but fear is standing in awe of God, respecting Him. I don't have actually any more words to... say how important this is. Yeah. Any questions? Do we all understand what we need to do today? Amen. Let's pray. Yeah, Father God, we bring You the glory, Lord. Father, thank You for this word. Thank You that it's going to bear fruit in season, and every season, Lord, it will bear fruit. Thank You that today, Lord, we have a better understanding of what is required of us, Lord God, Father, to come into with greater measures of intimacy into Your presence, Lord. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that as we go into this week, You will just keep on ministering on this. Thank You for the hunger and the thirst. Thank You for the eternal water, the water of life. Thank You that we will not be satisfied by food, but by every word that comes from Your mouth, God. Thank You, Lord, that if there's more questions, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit will bring the answers. Thank You for Your word that is our shield and our defense. You are our rock, Lord God, Father. Thank You that we can come in this week and we can come and abide in Your shadow and under Your wings, Lord God, Father, that covers us. Thank You for Your embrace, Lord God, Father, that's around us. Father, that we can just have faith. And we stand in awe of You, Lord. How great is our God. Altogether wonderful, altogether awesome, awesome in power. Holy, holy, holy is God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. So if there's anybody here today that has not met with Jesus yet and wants to make a connection with Jesus and make Jesus the Savior and the Lord of his life or her life, you can raise your hand and we'll pray for you. There's anybody here that already knows Jesus, but circumstances in life, trials and tribulations have made you backslide, and you just felt called this morning to come again and just seek Your Father's heart. We want to pray for you. Is there anybody else that wants to have prayer for because they're down and out, They feel wrecked. They feel their life is a wreck. I just want to pray with you and tell you, just to renounce that because it's a lie. Now, Father, I just pray your amazing blessing over everybody here, Lord. Lord, we just now, in the mighty name of Jesus, we speak healing. We speak new levels of life. We speak abundance because, Jesus has came. And he came to give life and give it in abundance in every form and every sphere of our lives. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.